Imagine hitting every green light on your drive home. That satisfying flow, that perfect timing. This is the metaphor at the heart of Matthew McConaughey's philosophy. In Green Lights, he doesn't just chronicle his rise from small-town Texan to Oscar winner. He offers a framework for recognizing when life's obstacles, those red and yellow lights, are actually disguised opportunities waiting to turn green. Drawing from 36 years of personal journals, McConaughey invites us into his unconventional life with raw honesty and surprising wisdom. His memoir isn't about avoiding life's challenges, but developing the perspective to see them transform into green lights through patience, perseverance, or simply getting out of your own way. It's about finding your rhythm in a chaotic world and trusting that even the most jarring detours might be taking you exactly where you need to go. The McConaughey home was a study in extremes. His parents' relationship cycled through marriages, divorces, and reconciliations, shifting from violent confrontations to passionate reunions in moments. Matthew once witnessed his mother break a telephone over his father's head, only to find them making love on the kitchen floor shortly after. Jim McConaughey, an ex-NFL player running an oil pipe business, believed in physical discipline over grounding, though punishment was usually followed by reconciliation. His mother, Kay, took a more flexible stance on ethics, even defending Matthew's academic dishonesty in a poetry contest by valuing understanding over originality. This unconventional upbringing shaped Matthew's outlaw libertarian worldview, knowing rules but understanding when to challenge them. Though neither wealthy nor formally educated, the McConaugheys carried themselves with unshakable confidence, embracing Republican values and hard work while maintaining their distinctive swagger. Their household taught Matthew that life wasn't about avoiding conflict, but finding meaning within it. At 19, McConaughey's Australian exchange turned nightmarish when he landed in Warnervale with the Dooley family. His host father, a 5'4" man with a fake English accent, made him vacuum the yard. The 4'10" mother criticized his chewing, while their son wanted Matthew to kiss his girlfriend on the lippies. The Dooleys forced him to clean their shoes with his toothbrush and subjected him to increasingly bizarre behavior. When McConaughey finally escaped, he learned the truth. The Dooleys were known locally as out of their bloody minds, and his placement with them had been an elaborate prank. Yet McConaughey views this torturous experience as transformative. Stripped of his most handsome title, truck, and popularity, he discovered his true self beneath the accolades. The experience taught him that the first step to identity isn't knowing who we are, but eliminating who we're not. A lesson that showed him how uncomfortable experiences often provide the greatest opportunities for growth. McConaughey started as a pre-law student until an existential crisis led him to switch to film school. When he called his father about the change, Jim simply said, "Don't half-ass it." The McConaughey version of blessing. At the University of Texas Film School, he stood out as the lone frat boy among artsy students, defending mainstream movies while his peers discussed European cinema. He paid bills by working at Catfish Station, an all-black blues bar. His breakthrough came unexpectedly. A drunken conversation with producer Don Phillips at a hotel bar led to an audition for Dazed and Confused. During a wardrobe fitting, director Richard Linklater spontaneously put him in a scene, where McConaughey improvised his now-famous line, "All right, all right." This moment embodied McConaughey's belief that opportunities appear when you least expect them. His openness to serendipity and authentic presence transformed an improvised line into the launch of an Oscar-winning career. After A Time to Kill made him an overnight sensation in 1996, McConaughey struggled with fame's disorienting effects. Seeking grounding, he hiked 13 miles to New Mexico's Monastery of Christ in the Desert, where Brother Christian's simple, "Me too," response to his confessions reminded him that no one is truly alone in their struggles. fame strained his relationship with his mother, who became fixated on his celebrity. She gave an invasive televised tour of their house, revealing intimate details about his life that led to 8 years of tension between them. In 1999, the Bongo Naked incident occurred when police found McConaughey playing drums nude at his Austin home at 2:30 a.m. His arrest for disturbing the peace, marijuana possession, and resisting arrest made headlines. When newspapers published his address, fans began leaving beer, drums, and weed at his door, ultimately driving him from Austin to life on the road in his Airstream trailer. This period illustrated fame's paradox, how the spotlight that brings adoration can simultaneously strip away privacy and authenticity. By the early 2000s, McConaughey had become Hollywood's rom-com king. The roles paid well, but felt hollow. He could perform them effortlessly, but was merely going through the motions. His life changed after meeting Camilla Alves at Hyde Club. He describes her as naughty yet fundamental, young with a past, innocent and cunning, the only woman he'd ever want to wake up beside. After their first child, McConaughey faced a turning point. His real life had become more meaningful than his roles, leading him to stop doing romantic comedies entirely. Despite offers reaching $14.5 million per film, he stood firm. If I couldn't do what I wanted, I wasn't going to do what I didn't, no matter the price. His absence made him a new good idea. Roles in The Lincoln Lawyer, Killer Joe, Magic Mike, and the Oscar-winning Dallas Buyers Club followed. By rejecting what no longer served him, McConaughey created space for fulfillment. This willingness to disappear and reinvent himself shows how sometimes creating green lights requires stopping at the reds. McConaughey's path to marriage cleared when his son Levi asked why his mother wasn't a McConaughey. After his pastor reframed marriage as mystical multiplication rather than limitation, he proposed to Camilla on Christmas 2011. Their wedding became a 3-day celebration with 88 guests in 44 tents. At the altar, Camilla said, "I don't want nothing, just all you got to give." Their third child, Livingston, was named for two Renaissance men who embodied the art of living. After his Oscar win, McConaughey realized he needed to make his life as authentic as his performances. He views his life in chapters: 20 years learning values, his 20s and 30s shedding what didn't fit, and his 40s affirming truths and creating green lights. While writing his memoir, he discovered a 1992 note listing 10 life goals, most accomplished, including fatherhood, finding love, and winning an Oscar. His final goal, just keep living, became his life mantra. The green lights aren't just victories, but also challenges that, with perspective, transform from red and yellow lights to green ones.